Hello and welcome back. Welcome to Module 3 of the Hypnotic Pickup Method, How to Pick Up Women. Now, hopefully you did your homework and you had a date with a woman. If not, then I invite you to stop this recording and go have a date with a woman and come back and pick up when you've had that date so that this conversation will be more pertinent to what you're going through right now. Because what we're going to look at right now is the second date and beyond. Now, keep in mind, I've kind of thrown you to the wolves. I've kind of thrown you in there without any hypnotic techniques at this point. I've given you some insight as to how the subconscious mind works and a little bit of programming, but as far as definite techniques to win that person over, I haven't given those to you yet. And the reason I'm doing it like this is that I want you to go out there and have some experience just dating, just like anyone else would, just dating and finding out what it's like. And then, in the final three modules, we're going to redo everything. We're going to look at it from a completely different point of view and make you an expert at using hypnotic techniques for dating. But for right now, what I need to do is make sure that you're up to speed, that you're on the same page as everyone else who has some dating experience, except that I want you to have positive dating experience because I want you to understand that you can do things like throw your hand. You don't have to stay in a situation if you're not happy. You can evaluate it. More importantly, you can look into yourself and find out what you're really looking for. So that's the essence of the first three modules, just to get you out there with some understanding of the dating world and some understanding of yourself. So I say that to emphasize the fact that your success rate is going to go up a lot more when you're done with the entire program. But for right now, just bear with the process. Stick to it. And you'll soon see the light at the end of the tunnel. So, if you had the first date, how did it go? As we look now at the second date and beyond, realize there are two different ways to look at this. Either things are going well or things are not going well. So, if things are going well, what you're going to find out is that you both listen to each other and are interested in what the other has to say. You're both thinking about each other when you're not together. You're enjoying spending time together, even when it's not exciting. Neither one of you wants to see other people. Both of you feel open and sharing with your feelings, and you do nice things for one another. Are those things happening? Now, realize that my checklist might be different than yours. I mean, let's be honest. You might be after a series of one-night stands. If you are, then some of these things don't really apply, do they? Sharing feelings and so forth. Sure, you have to do a little bit of that, but if that's really not your goal, the long-term sharing deep intimacy, then just ignore that. That's okay, because as I've said, you can tailor this program to fit your needs, whatever your goals are. But this gives you a good general checklist that you can look at. If you're looking at a relationship and thinking about having it long-term, you should look at these things. And if that is your goal and none of these things are showing up for you, well, I think you need to reevaluate how well that relationship's actually going. Of course, we're only looking at the second date and beyond, so you may just be ready for the second date and a lot of these things don't apply. Oh, we don't have a deep emotional connection. Well, that's because you don't really know the person that well. But as you get on with the third and fourth and fifth date, if these things are not developing, kind of like the old-fashioned pictures where you could snap the picture and it would push the film out of the camera and you could shake it a little bit and it would develop. Well, your relationship should be developing like that. And it should be becoming a clear picture of something that you want to see. Now, if it's developing into something that you look at and think, oh my goodness, what is this? This is not the picture I had in mind. Then you need to think about taking a different picture of a different relationship. So keep in mind that you need to constantly assess where things are going and if you really like what you're in. And you can always toss your hand. Okay, what about if things are not going well? What will be the indicators of things not going well? Well, if she's breaking dates, if dates are being broken. Also, if you're breaking dates. If you're breaking dates with her, then things are just not going well. You are breaking dates with her for a reason because you're probably not that interested, or maybe a better offer came along. But you've got to think about it. If that's happening consistently, maybe you're not that into her. And women can tell because, as I mentioned, women are psychic. They can figure things out. They have intuition and they can see what's going on. Even if you don't think it's obvious, it is. So if you're not that into it, why not just be honest with yourself and with the woman? If compliments are not being exchanged, if you're not saying, hey, you're beautiful, if she's not saying, hey, you've got this going on and that going on, if things aren't being said that are nice to each other, or the opposite, you're insulting each other, that's a problem. That's a problem. People who are developing a relationship see things in the other person that they like, and they want to compliment them on those things. It doesn't mean every morning you wake up and say, oh, nice dress, what beautiful hair, and so forth. It's not a forced thing. It should be happening naturally. If it's not happening naturally on either side, that's an indication that subconsciously there's not really that deep connection. What about her showing a lack of interest? Now, if she's showing a lack of interest, that is an indication that something is wrong. What about a lack of affection? Sure, maybe you're going through the process of being intimate, but if there's a lack of actual affection, something is wrong and you need to reevaluate. It means things are not going well. What about honesty? Is she being dishonest? Are you being dishonest? Are you being dishonest on purpose and you're happy with that? Hey, if that's your goal, if your goal is to be a quote-unquote player and you're happy about being dishonest, well, who am I to judge? My goal here is just to give you the tools you need to accomplish what you want to accomplish. However, if you think you're in a loving relationship, yet you find you're being dishonest, well, maybe you're not really in a loving relationship. And if she's lying to you, well, that's no good. You need to consider what's going on. Okay, is everything on her terms? Meaning, does she always set the time and place you're going to meet and you can only see her when she says you can see her? Is everything on her terms? Because if it is, that's a problem. You need to at least have some sort of say. Ideally, it would be 50-50, but with a female, maybe you would even have more say. Maybe you would even be more directive in where the relationship is going and when you're going to meet and what you're going to do. Now, that's up to you, and different couples have different ways of looking at that. But if she is putting everything on her terms, that's a problem, and you need to look at it. That means things are not going well, and you need to take a realistic look at the situation. Okay, so let's say that things are going well. Everything's going nicely. Everything's moving along. What do you need to do to keep it going? If you like this thing, you've got to keep it going. And how do you do that? Well, vary your activities on dates. Figure out what she likes and doesn't like. And of course, factor in what you like and don't like. But you've got to keep things fresh, so you want to vary your activities. Don't do the same thing every time. Now, if you're the type of person and she's the type of person who happen to like the same thing every time, well, that's okay. And as I said, you can change this program to suit your needs, but chances are it's going to get a little boring for one or both of you if you do the same thing every time. So mix it up a little bit. Think of different things that you can do that you both enjoy. Vary who you hang out with, either the two of you or small groups or large parties. If you're keeping her all to yourself and not letting her associate with your friends, well, that's a sign that maybe this is not an actual relationship. Maybe this is just someone who you're seeing and having an intimate relationship with. And if that's your goal, that's fine. But at some point, if you intend to stay with this woman for a long period of time, you're going to have to introduce her to friends, and you're going to have to be comfortable with hanging out with small groups of her friends and your friends, or going to large parties, etc. So open your mind and open your possibilities if you want to keep things fresh and you want to keep advancing the relationship. Okay, also, you're going to have to learn to compromise. We're talking about the basics of dating here, and I'm taking you through the very basics of dating to set a groundwork, to set a foundation on which we're going to build a house of hypnotic power. You'll see, bear with me, we're going to build that house. But as we talk about these basics, you are going to have to learn to compromise. Now, you may have come into this program thinking, compromise? I don't have to. I will have hypnotic powers that will make her do anything I want her to do. Well, reality is going to set in, and you're going to have to compromise at some point if you want to have an actual relationship. Now, if you're after a series of one-night stands, compromise, you can throw that out the window. You don't have to worry about compromise. You just use your hypnotic techniques I'm going to teach you. You get what you want, and you move on, and that's fine if that's what you want to do, as long as you're not hurting anyone. However, If you intend to have a relationship, even if you initially started it with some hypnotic techniques and had maybe what we might call an unfair advantage, that's fine. Eventually, if you want this to move into an actual relationship, you're going to have to compromise, however. And compromise can sometimes take a little bit of work. And part of that is making sure that both of you are comfortable on dates. If you want to go to the football game every time and she wants to go to the ballet every time, well, there needs to be some kind of compromise. Maybe the football game this week and ballet next week, or you can just find something that both of you like instead of either of those extremes. Okay, so let's look at what women do and don't want. Now, you may look at women and they may be a mystery to you. And in reality, that's true. They are mysterious. Women are mysterious. However, there are certain things about women that aren't mysterious that you perhaps just don't know. And that's okay, because I'm going to tell you those things right now. I'm going to enlighten you a little bit. What women do and don't want. Let's look at what they do want, first of all. They want you to listen to what they have to say. Now, if this comes as a shock to you, then maybe that will enlighten you a little bit about why you have had some trouble in the past, if you have. But women want you to listen to what they have to say. This means that they don't necessarily want you to offer a solution to what they're saying. If they're bringing up a point and it's something that bothers them, they don't necessarily want you to play fix-it person and make it all better. They want you to listen to what they have to say. And when we listen, we close our mouths and we just listen. Our ears are open all the time. Our mouth is adjustable. It can open or close. So close that mouth and listen. And you will find that she will tell you certain things. It will go on for a little period of time, and then she'll be done telling you those things. And then it's your turn to talk. It's not your turn to talk while she's telling you those things, especially if she's in a heightened emotional state, because all you're doing at that time when you're telling her those things is anchoring her to feeling that you are not listening. You see, she's creating a neurolinguistic programming, NLP, association between you and someone who doesn't listen. You are then the interrupter. You're the person who doesn't understand. You're the uncaring, non-emotional, fix-it person who doesn't care about actual feelings. That's what she is creating in her mind. So when she sees you, what is she going to see from that point on? She's going to see the unemotional, uncaring person who just wants to fix everything all the time. That's not what a female is looking for. Of course, you need to fix things at a certain point. There's a time and place to play the superhero and to fix things, and that's fine and wonderful, and that is expected. That is part of what a woman is looking for, yes. But when a woman comes to you crying and telling you problems, all you have to do is listen. All you have to do is listen. So listening is something that women like. And all this hypnosis information aside, if you expect to have a relationship with a woman, listen to me. Listen to the foundation that I'm establishing for you right now. Put all that hypnosis stuff aside for just a second. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about when we're getting to technique. And listen to me. Listen to me as you're going to listen to her. You must listen. If you want a long-term relationship, you must learn to do that. You must learn to close your mouth and pay attention to what she has to say and understand that you're dealing with an emotional person who is not dealing in the realm of logic when she's talking about emotional things. You may deal with logic. She, when she talks about emotional things, is not dealing with logic. She just wants you to understand from a heartfelt place what she's talking about. That is going to gain you more mileage than any hypnotic technique will ever gain you if you just learn to listen. What else do women want? Well, they want you to be romantic, and they want you to be chivalrous. That doesn't mean opening every single door for her. And I'll tell you what, this is not set in stone. Some women do not like having doors open for them. In fact, with some women, and you need to test this and find this out for yourself, I can't tell you that, you know, women with certain color hair like the door open, or women who look a certain way don't like the door open. It's not as simple as that. You need to find out. How do you find out? You open the door for a few times on the first date, and you find out. Probably, if she has a strong aversion to you opening the door for her, she's going to say something. Because some women are quite the opposite. They don't want to be treated differently when it comes to things like that, having the chair pulled out, having the door open, having you overly chivalrous. But the way you find out is by doing that. Now, some women want that all the time. In that case, you need to be careful about the power dynamic. Keep in mind, this is a dance. Dating is like a dance. There's nothing actually written in stone. Everything is fluid. Everything is moving all the time and changing all the time because humans are organic creatures. They're not rocks. Humans are organic. They're constantly changing. The cells are changing. There are fluids moving through the body. There are chemicals in the brain changing all the time. What was true yesterday for this person might not be true tomorrow. They might have changed their mind, maybe because some chemicals moved around, maybe because they had a different experience. You know, if you're dealing with a computer or a rock, then that's not the way that is. But if you're dealing with a human, especially a female, things are going to change. So none of this is written in stone. However, I do want you to be aware of the potential disruption of the power dynamic that you may cause if you're overly chivalrous. If you're opening the door all the time, even if it's what she wants. If you're opening the door all the time and pulling out the chair, you know, that's fine and wonderful, but you're not a servant. You're in a sharing relationship. Now, you're dealing with a woman, so you need to be chivalrous, but if you overdo it, even if she likes it, in fact, I'd go so far as to say especially if she likes it and you overdo it, you're putting yourself in the subordinate position. You're disrupting the power dynamic. You need to make sure that the power either remains equal or at certain key moments that you have the upper hand, that you have more power. If you're giving up all of your power and you're constantly, let's say, giving her gifts, constantly pulling the chair out, constantly sending flowers to work, things of this nature, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop. Just stop for half a day and look at what you're doing. What are you doing? You're not a servant. You're not begging for her affection, or are you? That seems like what you're doing, doesn't it? If you look at it. Step out of yourself for a minute and look at it. Have you done that in the past? Have you been overly chivalrous? Have you sent flowers the next day after the first date to her workplace and then continued to do that? Continued to send cards and so forth? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Are you opening the door all the time? Why are you doing that? You're trying too hard. This is not a job. You're not being paid to do this. This is not a queen and you're not the servant who serves the queen. No, you're supposed to be an equal. In fact, at sometimes you're supposed to have a slight advantage. So understand the difference between being chivalrous and being subservient. You need to make sure that you're not overdoing this. So even if she likes having the door open, sometimes she can open her own door. It's fine. She can open the door herself. She's got muscles in her arms. She can pull that door open. You need to let her do those things sometimes just to establish the fact that you are not the servant. Okay, now I'm talking here to people who take this to an extreme. If you just do it sometimes, that's fine, that's wonderful, that's nice. Congratulations, that's what you should be doing if she is one of those women who doesn't have a problem with you opening the door. Now, if she has a problem with you opening the door, don't do it. Don't ever open a door for her again, that's fine. You're insulting her if you open the door and she doesn't want it open. But if she wants the door open and you're opening it all the time, that's a problem too. So realize the balance. Use some common sense. Realize the balance. Keep the power dynamic either equal or give yourself the upper hand. Realize that in chivalry, you will always be serving her a little bit. A little bit. That's what chivalry is all about. But not so much that you put yourself beneath her. Think of it like this. You're actually more powerful than her. Okay, think of yourself like that. Don't tell her that you're more powerful than her. Don't ever say that. But think of it like that. You are more powerful than her. You're the big protector. You can open the door sometimes. You can pull her chair out sometimes because you're more powerful than her. Keep that in your mind. Don't share that with her, but keep that in your mind. That's why you do those things, not because you're weaker than her. She needs you to do those things sometimes because she is weaker than you. If you ever share that with a woman, I will deny that I ever said that. You need to keep that in your mind, though. You really do. You need to keep that in your mind because that is what's going to make the difference. That's what chivalry is all about. It's not about servitude. It's about being stronger and helping the person who's weaker. Okay, also along the lines of what women like, they like you to be there for them. If there's a funeral or a wedding or something's gone wrong, they want you to be there for them. Also, if there's something great going on, you know, like a wedding is a great thing, something's going on that's wonderful, they want you to be there for them in good times and bad times. Now, if you're trying to establish having someone that you just have an intimate relationship with and you only see them after hours and so forth, well, then you don't need to go to these weddings and funerals and so forth. So tailor this to your needs. But if you're trying to develop an actual relationship, you need to be there. Not just in your mind, not just on the phone, not just through texting or emails. You need to be there. You need to show up. Show up for these things. When she needs you, good or bad, you need to be there. Now, again, with the power dynamic, don't send a signal to her subconscious mind that you're the servant, that she calls you and says, hey, I'm at work. I could really use some lunch. Oh, really? Okay, what do you want? I'll bring it right over. And then you bring it right over. Doing that every now and then is fine. Doing that every day is not fine. You are the more powerful person. You are nice enough to help her out. You are not the servant at her beck and call. So realize the power dynamic. Also, be affectionate. Being affectionate, again, sends a signal to her subconscious mind that you are a good person and that she wants to be around you. If you're cold and stoic and Spartan with everything you do, that is not going to establish that affection that she needs. Now, here's a weird thing about women. Some women actually want the opposite. In fact, if you're too affectionate with them, if you're too loving and too caring and too this and too that, they might think you're trying to manipulate them. Well, you may very well be with this program. But they may see something negative in that because maybe they're accustomed to people who treat them not so great. Now, I'm not saying be abusive. Never, ever be abusive. Never abuse a woman. What I'm saying is that if you hold back some affection sometimes, that can actually work to your advantage. If you're overly affectionate, then you're going to be seen as being very similar to her. Now, the reason the woman is with you is because you are different than her in some way, probably at least emotionally different than her. If you are exactly like the woman emotionally, then she's not going to see you as different. She's going to see you as very much like herself. People are not interested in people who are exactly like themselves. So keep that in mind, but also keep in mind that you need to find out as quickly as you possibly can if she is one of those women who likes you to be very affectionate, or if she's one of those women who likes you to withhold some affection. And this is another strange thing. Sometimes women who like you to withhold affection will say that they like you to be very affectionate. I'm looking for a man who's very affectionate. Why do they say that? Because they've never been with a man who's very affectionate, and they think they might want to be with a man who's very affectionate. However, they actually don't want a man who's very affectionate. And the track record shows it. Every man they've ever been with has not been affectionate, but it's led them to believe that they want an affectionate man, and so they say that. That's not reality. So, I know some of this can be complicated at some times because we're dealing with a woman. Here's the way you cut through all of it. You get her. Now, I know I said talking about past relationships is problematic, but in this case, you need to get her to talk about past relationships just to get a little bit of insight. Get her to describe some of the things that she liked and didn't like about her three most recent relationships. You will see a pattern emerge. There will be a pattern. You need to look for it. When you see that pattern, realize that that is what she gravitates toward. Do not pay any attention to what she says about her evaluation of the relationship. Oh gosh, they were so closed off emotionally, I didn't feel that I could relate. She might say something like that. Okay, so there may be some judgment that she puts in with the story. Do not pay attention to the judgment. Just listen to what happened. What were these three people like? What did they all have in common? there's going to be something there, probably something that has to do with how affectionate they were or how non-affectionate they were. Now, if she's the type of person who just likes abuse, you need to toss your hand and get out because that's not the kind of person you want to be with. But you're going to get some kind of insight as to what she is accustomed to. Don't pay attention to what she says she feels about what she's accustomed to. Just pay attention to what's been going on, because chances are, if you do not fit that mold, she is not actually going to be interested in you. And if you do, then she is going to be interested in you. So rather than trying to be the ideal person that she says she's interested in, you need to gravitate toward being the type of person that she is actually interested in, and her track record will show it. Okay, so in summary, those are the things that women do want. They like it when you listen to what they have to say. They like it when you're romantic and chivalrous. They like it when you give them gifts. Don't overdo any of this stuff. They like it when you're there for them. They like it when you're affectionate. But realize what I said, that you have to balance everything out. And you have to realize that sometimes these things don't apply. But you're going to find that out. It'll be fun for you. The one thing that you do need to keep in mind from what I said about what women do like is that they do like when you listen to them. So be sure to do that. Now, what do women not like? Let's take a look at that. Well, they don't want you to compare them to other women you've dated in the past or have had any kind of relationship with in the past. You need to let go of comparing her to her or anyone else or the girl who just walked by or your mom or anyone. Just let go of comparing her to other women or exes. That is not appropriate, and going down that path can only lead to problems. You need to avoid mentioning her age or weight. You need to avoid rushing things. Don't be in a big hurry to move the relationship along. You need to avoid expecting sex. Now, perhaps you're expecting sex. Perhaps you're expecting to have this happen. You want an intimate relationship, and that's fine. Chances are you're expecting that to happen. But showing that you're expecting it is different than expecting it. So just avoid showing that you're expecting it. There's a wonderful movie, by the way, and I don't often recommend movies, but it's called The Tao of Steve, and Tao is spelled T-A-O. And I don't remember the actors who are in it, but you can probably still rent it somewhere. The Tao of Steve, T-A-O. And it's a comedy. It's a romantic comedy. It's not what we would call a chick flick per se, but it's actually quite the opposite the way it starts out, but it turns out to be a romantic comedy, and the guy actually turns out to be a good guy. But this is a story of a guy who has a system. A guy who's actually, when you look at him, you think, well, probably not going to land the woman of his dreams, at least not without quite a bit of work. But he has a system. It's very interesting, the system that he uses. In the movie, one of the principles that he teaches is that you need to renounce your interest. So you're interested in the female, however, you don't let her know that. You renounce your interest. And so he's saying basically that your sexual desire and so forth, you take that and you just renounce it. You don't show it. And by doing that, you actually cause an attraction, because keep in mind, it's not how interested you are in her, it's how interested she is in you. She needs to be interested in you in order for there to be an attraction that you can actually work with. You can be attracted to anyone you want. You're probably attracted to certain female celebrities and so forth. That doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean they're attracted to you. They may not even know you. They probably don't. Yet you're attracted to them because you've seen them on TV and magazines and so forth. That's fine, but it doesn't gain you anything. All that matters is how attracted they are to you. So when you're talking with a woman, if you are renouncing, meaning hiding or putting aside or just totally forgetting about your sexual interest in them, it's going to gain you quite a bit of power, because suddenly what happens? You're free. You don't care about having an intimate relationship with them. You don't care. So you're not working hard to try to make that happen. You're just being your genuine self and having fun. So check out the movie, The Tao of Steve. Remember, Tao is spelled T-A-O. It's just pronounced Tao. It's pronounced with a D, but it's spelled with a T. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Okay, here's another thing that women generally don't like, but you may want to experiment with this a little bit, and that is flirting with other women. Now, generally, traditionally, you're going to have some trouble if you do this, if you flirt with other women. However, if she thinks that she has you so locked down and so under control that you feel that you're like a dog caged in a yard and you can't even flirt with another woman, she may feel that she's got you so under control that she loses respect for you. So you need to keep that dynamic in mind. Generally speaking, it's rude to flirt with other women while you're either in a relationship or talking to the woman of your interest, the woman you're supposed to be on the date with. We're talking about the second date and beyond, and here you are flirting with another woman while you're out to dinner with this woman. You're eating dinner with this woman, yet you're flirting with the waitress a little bit, maybe getting the waitress to laugh. Now, you need to play this one yourself. You need to figure this one out all by yourself. How much is too much? How much is not enough? If you're dealing with a woman who's very dedicated to you and very into you, and you don't feel that you have to make her jealous, then by all means, do not make her jealous, because all you're going to do is cause problems for yourself, and you may actually end up getting physically injured by her. So you need to decide if you need to add a little bit of jealousy. Maybe she's starting to talk about other men. Oh, well, so-and-so at the office was very interested in me and complimented me on my skirt today and so forth. Okay, well, it might be time to get the waitress to laugh. You may want to throw that in. Now, if you find that it's a big jealousy fest, that she tries to make you jealous and you try to make her jealous, that's not what we're after here. That's a formula for disaster. That's a formula for some kind of really bad comedy movie that doesn't really benefit anyone. But the smart dater will realize that it is necessary to keep the power dynamic in such a way that she is always attracted to you. And sometimes you may need to introduce the element of jealousy just to show her that she's not the only ship in the ocean. Okay, she's not the only person around. There are other opportunities. Oh, really? Well, Joe was complimenting you on your dress today. That's interesting. Waitress, have you heard the joke about blah, blah, blah? Get the waitress to laugh. This will establish the fact that you're not limited in your options. And one of two things will happen. Either she'll stop talking about that stuff that doesn't have anything to do with the two of you. Who cares if Joe is complimenting her on her dress? There's no reason to bring that up at dinner. That's just brought up to make you jealous. Either she'll stop doing that stuff or she'll heighten it. If she heightens it, you need to toss your hand because you're dealing with a situation that's really not going anywhere. Or you need to deal with it directly and say, look, you're trying to make me jealous. I'm trying to make you jealous. Why don't we just stop that? And if she can't deal with that, then you need to toss your hand. Realize there's another power dynamic between leveling with her, saying exactly what you feel, and using some manipulation. Now, the second part of this course is all manipulation. You're going to get all the manipulation techniques that you want. The first part of this is just general dating dynamics. How does dating work? So in the general sense, dating works like that. You have a power dynamic and you have other dynamics which are constantly in flux, and you need to keep an eye on all of them. And the smart dater, which you are now, smart dater, is always aware of what's going on and where the power dynamics are. Okay, let's look at common mistakes that are made in dating, and you want to avoid these mistakes. Don't offend her. Talking about offensive things will offend her. Do not offend her. And you know what I mean. I don't need to give any examples here. You know when you're offending a woman. Don't do it. Don't be indecisive. Women want someone who is strong and knows what they want. If you say, let's go here, and then halfway driving there, you say, I don't know if I really want to go here. I think maybe I'll go there. Oh, I don't know. What do you think, dear? Do you think we should go there or there? That's not decisiveness. That's the opposite of decisiveness. You may think that you're just making a logical decision. Well, I didn't want to go there. I want to find out where she wants to go. No, that should have been decided ahead of time. When you do something, you need to do something. When a woman sees you do something halfway, she loses respect for you. What happens when she loses respect for you? You lose power. What happens when you lose power? You're not going to get what you want, either the intimate relationship that you're seeking or the long-term relationship. She wants to be with someone who is powerful. It doesn't mean that you're a dictator, that you're telling her what to do all the time, that you're constantly bossing her around. That's not what this is about either. What I'm saying is that you need to do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, even if you have to force yourself to do that. That's a very basic concept in dating, but one that can cause you all kinds of problems if you don't follow it. A woman is constantly evaluating you to see how strong or how weak you are. And guess what? You're not the only person in the world either. She is constantly evaluating you and lots of other people. How do you compare to them? Oh, okay, they're stronger than you. Oh, you're stronger than them. That's what women look for. That's one of the things they look for, strength. Doesn't mean that you're in charge of the whole world or that you're even in charge of anything. You don't have to be the boss of your company or a manager or anything like that. But when you're in that dating situation with her, you are in charge. You are in charge. And when you decide, even if you both decide together where to go, you make it happen because you are decisive. Once the decision has been made, it's been made and you follow through. Okay, another common mistake is being pushy. Don't be pushy. You need to, first of all, realize that everything's going to be okay, so just relax. You're decisive. However, you don't need to force her along to do things. You need to notice her feelings and her actions and her reactions. Women are very easy to read if you just pay attention. So avoid being pushy. You can be assertive, but not pushy. You don't have to say, "Let's go, get in the car." You can say, "Oh, we should go now because we need to be there at 8 o'clock. Are you ready?" There's a big difference between being assertive and being pushy. Okay, so it's possible that you have some challenges in the romance department. I know that I do personally, and I actually have to turn to female friends sometimes to find out what's actually romantic. So I'm going to help you out a little bit here and help you figure out how to be romantic. Realize it varies from female to female, what they consider to be romantic. And also realize that we're talking about what she will find romantic, not what your last girlfriend found to be romantic. Now, she may be a lot like your last girlfriend, and that's common to have patterns run like that. But what we're talking about, what we're focusing on, is what she will find romantic. Here are some possibilities. Being outdoors can be considered romantic. Going to a nice restaurant can be considered romantic. Renting a movie and watching it on the couch. Flowers and small gifts, and we talked about overdoing that. Do not overdo that. Poetry can be very romantic. Poetry you may think of as something that you wouldn't compose. I mean, you may think, "Oh, poetry, I don't see myself writing poetry." I'll tell you what, if you force yourself to write a poem, even a 5-line poem, you're going to find that you have probably gone a long way in terms of winning her heart. If you write a poem about her, you're going to find that it opens her heart just a little bit more. Now, if your goal is not to open her heart, then don't worry about writing a poem. But if you want to really, really deeply touch a woman romantically, writing a poem about her can be a wonderful way. Now, don't write a book about her, and don't write a poem about her every day because that's overdoing it and it's going to get watered down. But just for now, write one poem. We're talking about the second date and beyond. Write a poem. "Hey, I was just driving my car the other day and I wrote a poem on the envelope when I was at a stoplight." And go ahead and have it written on an envelope. It can be something as simple as that. How about writing her just a simple love note? Tell her how amazing she is. Tell her how great she makes you feel. Tell her you're thinking about her. Just a note. Not constant notes, not leaving notes on her car when she's at work all the time. That's kind of creepy. That can be kind of scary. That's not what you want to do. You're not the guy lurking around the parking lot of her job, leaving her notes on her car. No, maybe one time you do that, but then you mix it up a little bit and you do it other times. You leave it at, maybe you have to get up early to go to work and she's still in bed and you leave a note on the bed. But not every day and not everywhere and not all the time. Again, this ties into anchoring. You're creating an association in her mind between you and romance. When she sees you, she thinks of romance. She remembers those little notes and poetry, but beyond that, at a very primal, deep level, at a neurological level, she has associated you with romance. You equal romance. When she sees you, she thinks of romance. Create positive associations so that when she sees you, she's thinking positive thoughts. What else do women like? Well, they like generosity. One of the things that I do that you may want to do is I give to charities. I also volunteer. So I volunteer and I financially give to charities. Not only that, but if a homeless person or whoever it is in the streets asks me for money, sometimes they ask for specific amounts. They say, do you have 36 cents? Do you have a dollar? Do you have 56 cents? You know what I do? I give them a $10 bill. A $10 bill. And if I'm on a date, that goes a long way. It's shocking. When someone sees you give a $10 bill, it's just shocking. But guess what you've done? You've established that you are generous. Now, don't go down the street handing out $10 bill after $10 bill to every homeless person. Or if you see that same person again the next day, don't give them another $10 bill. That's not what I'm talking about. I'll maybe do this once a week. But if you do it when you're on a date with a female, you're going to establish that you are a generous person. You don't need to say, oh, I give to charities. Oh, I wrote a check for whatever amount of money to such and such charity. Oh, I volunteered. You know, all your stories about what you do are fine and wonderful, but they don't go nearly as far as in the moment giving a $10 bill to someone who asks you for 36 cents or for a dollar or if you have any spare change. So whatever the currency is in your country, if you give more than is normally expected, you're going to find out, first of all, you've made that person's day who received the money. Second of all, you feel really good about yourself. Third of all, you've automatically created at a neurological level an association in that female's mind, if you do that in front of her, an association between you and generosity. Check off generosity. You don't have to try. You don't have to tell her how much you gave to charity or any of that. Done. You are now generous. She has created an association in her mind between you and generosity. Okay, what else do women like? They like it when you're patient. Be patient with her. She's taking forever to get ready in the bathroom. Just be patient. What is your hurrying her going to accomplish? If you are the person who's always rushing her around, guess what association you've created? You are then the person who stresses her out. You equal stress. Just like you equal generosity, well, now you'll equal stress and generosity. And what good is that? Create positive associations, just constant positive, 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 next positive thing, next positive thing, next positive thing, until you are the most positive thing in the world to her. There's so many positive associations at a neurological level that she sees you as some sort of saint. And that's wonderful. Keep in mind, when you're becoming the saint, you need to be the sexy saint. Okay, so don't get so pious and so wonderful and so saintly that she doesn't want to have an intimate relationship with you. You're the sexy saint, so anchor sexiness also. What else do women like? They like it when you're spontaneous and you surprise them. Now, again, not everything's written in stone. Some women like 2 o'clock to be 2 o'clock and the activity to be the activity. And if you vary from the 2 o'clock activity, then she's going to wonder why you're varying from the 2 o'clock activity. If you're dealing with a female like that, first of all, I say toss your hand, but you can decide what you want to do. I think you should gravitate towards someone more spontaneous, but who knows? Maybe you're a computer analyst or something, and she is too, and you like everything to be very precise, and that's fine if that's what you want. But if 2 o'clock comes along and you've planned on going to the barbecue and you surprise her with some whitewater rafting or something that you know she likes, don't suddenly go jumping out of an airplane if you know she's terrified of jumping out of airplanes and she thought you were going to the barbecue, but you want to surprise her with something that she likes, chances are she'll like it or she'll at least go along with it and it'll work out really well. So be spontaneous. There's a real problem subconsciously with predictability. If she knows how to predict you, you're no longer intriguing to her. You're no longer unique to her. You're no longer spontaneous to her. You're just predictable. What's another word for predictable? Another word for predictable is boring. You do not want to create that association in her mind. You do not want to be boring. So sometimes you should plan the date, second date and beyond, as one thing, but actually you're going to do something much better. Don't plan the skydiving thing that she likes and then take her to a barbecue. That's not the way to be spontaneous. The way to be spontaneous is to plan the more boring, subtle thing and to actually do something much more exciting. Okay, what else do women like? They like you to take care of all the details on the date. If you're supposed to get in the limousine at this time and supposed to get the restaurant at that time, you plan all that. Don't leave it up to her. Don't say, hey, I was thinking we could go out and have some lobster tonight and maybe take a limo. Can you call the limo person and I'll call the restaurant? That's not the way it works. Maybe after you've been married for 10 years or so, you can do it that way. Oh, it's date night. Go ahead and call the limo and I'll call the restaurant and we'll just piece it together. That's the way we do things. But if it's your second date, third date, fourth date, fifth date, somewhere in that zone, you plan everything. You take care of everything from soup to nuts, as they say, from beginning to end. You take care of it all. Women like that. They respond to that. You're in charge. You're planning everything. Doesn't mean that you plan things without consulting with her, without seeing if she likes those things. But once you find out she does, take it from there. Okay, and now we get into seduction. Now, we're really going to get into seduction in the final three modules, but I want to give you a little introduction to it. Seduction. First of all, I recommend not trying to seduce her on the second date if you don't know what she likes or doesn't like. Now, you can use the technology in this program to seduce a woman on the first date. In fact, in the first 5 minutes of meeting her, if you want to, you can do that. But I recommend that if you're trying to get a long-term relationship and you don't really know her that well yet, wait a little bit. Don't even try it on the second date. And don't assume that all women find certain things romantic. The more you take note of her likes and dislikes, the more you pay attention to her, the more successful you'll be. And that gets back to something very important that I mentioned before, which is listening. Listening is going to gain you a lot of mileage. How do you seduce? Now, we're talking about doing this just like a good dater would do, without using hypnosis yet, just bringing you up to speed with what every other good dater should know. What do you do to seduce a woman? Well, you make her smile and laugh. You make her feel special. Make sure you're on time to dates. Make sure you're affectionate. Have a plan and have a backup plan also for your date. Compliment her. Be easygoing and go with the flow on the date. Focus on her during the dates. Make sure you're taking her to a romantic place, somewhere unique. Maybe a place that she's mentioned wanting to go, but she's never gone. That's your cue right there. She's giving you the keys to the kingdom. Go ahead and take it and run. Go ahead and take them. Open the door. Take her to a place that she's mentioned that she's never been, but she's wanted to go. You can bring her a small gift, not a BMW or a helicopter or $2,000 or anything like that. Not a big gift. Maybe that's for your 10th wedding anniversary or something like that. Or maybe the wedding itself, but not for the second, third, and fourth date. A small gift. Flowers or a flower. Maybe she mentioned a specific type of flower she likes and you just picked it off the side of the road. That's very romantic. You didn't go to a store and pick it up on the way to the date and pay $1.99 for it or what have you. No. You went to the side of the road and picked it where the wild flowers grow because that's where they grow, and that's the flower that she likes. You don't have to do all that, but you see the concept of it. It doesn't have to be an expensive gift. It can be a small gift, but it has meaning. Maybe you can bring her some food or chocolate or a funny toy or a book. Maybe she's expressed an interest in something, and you bring her a book that has to do with that. Okay, so I've given you a lot of information here to make you a smart dater. In the next module, get ready to take it a step further. You're going to become a powerful dating machine. You're going to learn these techniques that make the difference between the smart dater and the powerful dater who's armed with hypnotic techniques. So first three modules, thank you for bearing with me. If you already knew a lot of this stuff, I congratulate you. If you didn't, hopefully I've filled in the gaps. Hopefully I've given you something that you didn't already know, and I've made you look inside. I've made you look inside yourself. What do I want you to do for your homework? I want you, first of all, to get yourself mentally prepared for some very powerful hypnotic techniques that you're going to learn in the following three modules. But also, I want you to go over not just what's in module three, but also one and two, and just make sure that you have a good, solid understanding of what every smart dater should know. And then we're going to add the icing to the cake. I want to make sure you have a cake first. A cake. Make sure you're up to speed with all the other daters out there, because it can be a competition. We're going to add what they don't have. You're going to have an unfair advantage over them with hypnotic techniques. But go over everything. Make sure you understand all of the components of modules 1, 2, and 3. Make sure you understand what to do, what not to do. Make sure you understand what you're after. Make sure you know to listen. Make sure you understand the power dynamic. Make sure you understand all of that. I need you to understand all of that before you add hypnosis to your big bag of tricks, because you have to understand what you're looking for. And you have to understand some very basic concepts about women before you can use hypnotic techniques successfully. Think of it like a person pursuing a PhD. You're about to pursue the PhD. You're about to become a doctor, if you will, in a sense, of hypnosis. You're about to learn some dating techniques that would make you the equivalent of a doctor if we looked at it in terms of education. Now, you're not going to pursue that PhD unless you've already been through school and you've already been through undergraduate school. Now you're ready to pursue the graduate degree, which is the doctorate. What I've taken you through is the elementary and the high school education and the four-year college education. And next module, you're going to start working on your PhD, if you will, your advanced degree that's going to separate you from probably 99% of the other people out there who are trying to date women also. You are going to have that mastery. But first, it's important for you to understand and have a firm grounding in the basics. What's 1 + 1? Why is the sky blue? That kind of thing. You must understand the basics of women first. And then I'm going to show you how to control women, how to go in there and simply get what you want. So join me in the next module as we take this to an entirely new level. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.